Well, stop me if you've heard this before. Governments cracking down on social media posts and making arrests. Well, yes, we've heard about it happening, of course, in the UK and parts of Europe. And now it is coming to Canada, where we're seeing the Royal Canadian Mounted Police arresting social media users for discriminatory and racially offensive posts. Yes, Canada now will arrest you over your social media posts. Let's dive more deeply into the tyranny that is Trudeau's government up there in Canada with David Creighton, independent journalist who writes at the Post-Millennial, and who has the great YouTube channel as well, Creighton's Right. David, so it's come to Canada now. I guess we were predicting this for a while, right?
As you know, Clayton, the Online Harms Act is being voted on perhaps next year. And this is the horrible censorship law that contains the thought crimes component. But it's not law yet. So why are the RCMP showing up at a woman's door in Chilliwack and saying, hey, we're going to arrest you for racially offensive tweets or racially offensive posts or racially offensive anything on the internet? Because this happened exactly at the same time as these so-called keyboard warriors, as these idiot judges are calling them in the UK. I mean, they're arresting people in the UK for saying things contrary to government policy, and the cops are literally showing up in their bedrooms, in their living rooms, carting them away to jail. You've seen the video of this. You've shown the video of this on Redacted. It's shocking. I mean, people in their 60s and 70s being arrested for these so-called Facebook crimes, and these cops coming around and just carting them off to jail. And it's happening now in Canada. We haven't even got the Online Harms Act passed yet. And this is absolutely frightening, because what's happening in UK is no longer a parliamentary democracy. It's a dictatorship. It's a totalitarian society envisioned by George Orwell, because you have to remember 1984 takes place in a futuristic society in Great Britain. It's become that society now. And my God, it's coming to Canada now. I don't want the RCMP coming to my door and giving their opinion on anything, especially about what I'm putting on the internet. And a lot of people are saying, enough is enough of this. And they haven't even got the law behind them.
Right, so they don't even have a law behind them. Then what's the impetus here? Like, what does she say that's so offensive that rises to some level we don't even have a law behind it? They're just taking it upon themselves to show? We've seen the video in the United States, the FBI doing the same thing in the United States, people making social media posts on Facebook, and the FBI showing up and knocking on people's door. And people are saying, get out of my yard. Get off my lawn right now. You're here. We literally have the largest child trafficking operation in the world, and you're worried about my Facebook posts?
Yeah, well, that's it. This woman actually isn't the nicest example of a free speech advocate. I'm not here to justify anything she said. Some of it is a little bit offensive, but free speech can be offensive. And I don't want
the
cops
point.
Judging what's...
Hold on. Let's make the point here. The reason we have free speech is for the speech that you don't like, right? That is what is protected, protected speech. It's the speech you don't like. And so we always have to remember that. Like, things are offensive. People are going to be offended, but it should be protected, at least in the United States. That's why we have the First Amendment.
Well, we have a Charter of Rights, too, in Canada, which should be protecting our free speech. That, of course, is a huge gap in the United Kingdom. They don't have a Charter of Rights or a Bill of Rights or even a Constitution. They have nothing to go back on except protocol and the fair play of Parliament. So that's why they're getting away with murder in the UK. But my God, it should not be happening in countries where they have a constitution and charter of rights. But it is happening here. And of course, you know, the anti-free speech advocates will always go after the weakest link first, the most obnoxious, the most critical.
Offensive.
They will do that first and then start going after you and I. Because once they have gone after the weakest link, then they think it's open season on everybody else. They're just trying here to set precedents, is all this is about, so they can then start arresting other people. And this is absolutely out of line, completely out of line.
So this is one situation where you have this woman. Are there other situations right now where they've where there's been reports? Because these it seems like these sort of have trickled out a little bit. We, you know, they weren't like immediately aware that these were happening, these RCMP arrests and showing up at people's doors. Do we have other situations right now that have also been happening across Canada?
I'm not aware of any others. There was tremendous pushback when the story came out, and it was well reported, not just by new media or independent media, but the mainstream media picked this up as well. But what's most disturbing about this case is that this woman was picked up because her neighbors turned her in to the cops, and the local media reported her to the cops. So whose side are they on? And this is, to me, an incredible indication that if we get the Online Harms Act passed in Canada, is the national media going to be turning in other journalists because they don't like what they're writing? This is a very, very sad and very dangerous precedent. But I guess I'm not surprised.
No, and we've seen this. I mean, been this encouragement of this sort of snitching on your neighbor, right? And this is we've seen this in Ukraine, of course, and with Zelensky and the Dia app that has been rolled out across Ukraine basically encourages you to snitch on your neighbor. So is that part of like this plan from the Trudeau government? Is like sort of snitching on your neighbor? If you see something offensive on social media, please report your neighbor so the RCMP can show up at their door?
Well, that's exactly what is going to happen with the thought crimes component of the Online Harms Act. It's based on testimony from people around your house who suspect you're up to no good, who are monitoring what you're doing on the internet and might wage a complaint with the police, with this new Online Harms Act censorship board, or with a human rights tribunal. So you've got three different organizations coming after you, but it's based on the same principle that Tim Walz loves so much in Minnesota, by the way, which is set up a snitch line. So you've got people turning in other people down the street. It sounds positively communistic, and that's what it is. That's what it is.
Well, speaking of communistic, it's the crackdown on the Freedom Convoy and the Freedom Convoy truckers. You've been, of course, been following the trial there for over a year now. And there's a big update today. Can you give us an update today before we let you go, David?
Yes. Tomorrow, Friday, is the final day of testimony for the Freedom Convoy trial of Tamara Leach and Chris Barber. I have been there 95% of these hearings. We're on day 44 for a mischief trial. And I've been told by a very good source that the legal bill for Tamara and Chris is now approaching $1 million. It's the longest mischief trial in Canadian and possibly world history. I am going to find out how much the prosecution, the Crown, has spent. We know it's at least $2 or $3 million in prosecuting these people in a mischief trial. And I tell you, if these two are not found innocent, when we finally get a verdict in 2025, believe it or not, we're going to wait till January, February at the earliest for a verdict on this. If they are found guilty, all Canadians who love free speech, all Canadians who yearn for freedom will also be found guilty by this court. This is a profound moment, a seminal moment in Canadian and world history. The Freedom Convoy, these truckers stood up for your freedom and mine during the COVID mandates, and I'm with them today standing up for theirs.
Hallelujah. And I think our audience is as well. Well, thank you for that, David. And we'll be watching tomorrow, of course, what happens there. And then we're waiting for a decision from that court over the next few months. David Creighton, always great to see you up there in Canada. Thanks, as always, for keeping them honest.
Thank you so much, Clayton. Always a pleasure.